All right. Meeting of the House Hess Committee, March 30th, 1999. We're about 5 minutes after three. Committee members present. Representative Morgan, Co-Chair Dyson, Co-Chair Coghill. No quorum. I understand we're going to have some come in a little bit late. So today, the calendar has the Alaska Council of School Administrators here with us. Welcome to the Hess Committee room and to what's left of the Hess Committee. And, oh, here comes Mr. Bryce. For the record, a note that Tom Bryce is here. And first on the agenda is going to be the Council, the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and then we'll take up SB 37 and HB 147. Do we have anybody online for testimony?
We have observers in Barrow and in Anchorage.
Okay, welcome those in Barrow and Anchorage to observe. And do we have a sign-up list or anybody beside the association? And I'll ask you how we're going to do that in a minute. Let's see. Make sure that I go through all my lists here. Okay. I think that's it. I just had to make sure I go through all the technical things. Well, welcome to the committee. And let's see. How are we going to do this? Are we going to have one person testify, or how is that going to work?
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, the president of our association and myself as executive director would be at the table.
Why don't you come on up to the chair here? Both of you identify yourself. And what I'll ask you to do is, so that we get this on the record, when you begin to speak, certainly we can tell the difference between your voices, but we need to have you identify yourself. So when one speaks, just go ahead and identify yourself and say, Mr. Chairman, or through the chair. And if the committee wishes, we could probably ask some questions, but my desire is to go ahead and let them present what they have to present. And then if there's any questions, take it. Is there any objection to that? For the record, make it known that Representative Kemplin has joined us. We do have a quorum. So without further ado, please identify yourself, and welcome to our committee.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representatives. My name is Mary Rubidoux. I'm current president of the Alaska Association of School Administrators, and I'm also the superintendent of the Juneau Schools. And we very much appreciate this opportunity to be here today. We're ending a two-day fly-in, and we also appreciate the opportunity that we've had to interact formally and informally with a variety of legislators over the last 2 days. So thank you. We've seen many of you both in your offices and at our social events, and appreciate that. We've had an opportunity also to gain a lot of information. We had a wonderful presentation by Commissioner Condon yesterday, and went through many of the options with regard to Alaska's fiscal future. The Alaska Association of School Administrators is a group of your school executives for the state of Alaska, and we're here today because we're strong advocates for Alaska's public education system, for Alaska's children, families, and our educational professionals. We believe in a strong public education system. We believe it's the bedrock of a strong, vital state. Over the past 2 days, we've informally polled our membership, and the school superintendents were here today to share various positions on legislation that we've cataloged for you. We recognize and appreciate the support from legislators for fully funding education. We are also acutely aware of the fiscal challenges facing Alaska. The fiscal crisis facing our state calls for tremendous creativity, collaboration, courage, and leadership. We want to work with you to help develop solutions and encourage you to act on these solutions, which will secure the future of our great state. As an association, we support multiple solutions to the complex issue of balancing state expenditures and revenues. We support many of the solutions which are proposed to raise new revenues, including taxes. Gerald Hargraves, our executive director, will now provide you with a brief position statement on key bills, and will be available here to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Daryl Hargraves, executive director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. In that capacity, one of my job description items is to be the executive director for AASA, which is the superintendent's group. And the superintendents have been meeting here the last couple of days. A remnant of them are still here today. That's kind of like your diminished numbers. Most of them have stayed with us to this point. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we'd like to bring to you greetings from the school districts across the state, all 53 of them. Some of those are small school districts, down to 30 students. They've, in some instances, a couple of school districts have joined together under one administrative unit. So 50-plus school districts we have operating in the state, that many superintendents. These superintendents reflect the needs and work daily with the needs of about 130,000 students across the state, public school students. And the obligations are large, and as they deal with various proposed pieces of legislation, please keep in mind that they come from the perspective of working on the front lines with students, with teachers, and working for boards duly elected from their communities. This document that's been passed out to you, we're not going to go through this in a great deal of detail, but I will reference the item and the page number to give you a few of the comments about what has been deducted from kind of a straw poll and discussions with this group over the past couple of days. The first off, the group did come to a pretty heavy consensus that they would like to really challenge legislators to take leadership roles in many areas, to see to it that school districts are funded according to the needs. And you know, there are many controversial ways about how to accomplish that, but these people coming from across the state working for elected boards in our communities, I feel that they really can entrust to you the responsibility to find those solutions. Sometimes it's true. We know what the needs are more than we know how to fund them out there in the Tules where we work. If I could reference you to page 2, item number 4, changes to the foundation. We understand there are some amendments in the hopper for those. Group would support the concept of additional money for schools. We think that if it is going to be opened up, that you need to look at the needs across the state. There could be some changes as proposed here, as well as some other changes that might be brought to your attention. That is in Senate Bill 105, should you ever see it. Let me state also that we're aware that some of these bills have been through your committee. Others may be headed this way. Others you may not vote. You may not see them until they're on the floor, and you'll have to vote on them there. But we're taking this opportunity to put the broad perspective out to you, knowing that you will adequately represent us when you go deal in other committees and on the floor. Number 5, allowing public funds for private or religious schools. This is a controversial thing in many places. As far as the superintendents are concerned, they would like to express an opposition to that. We think that is going to open up some serious problems if we tamper with the Constitution to make that kind of a change. On page 3, item number 6, parental access to children's records, Mr. Chairman, this group would never want to hinder parents' right to records and knowledge about what's happening to their children in the school. We give parents the first right. But there are some things here that are of concern to us. We're very much supportive of the DMV requirement to have them pass on driver's license information, a driving record. As a parent, I can tell you the group would support that, every parent on the roster. The one thing that begins to problem us a little is when they come into the school and have access to records. Mr. Chairman, as far as we're concerned, to the individual, we make those records available. There's a thing called an accumulative folder or file in a school district on every child. To my knowledge, no parent has ever been refused the right to see that. So I'm not sure where the problem came from that would cause this to be introduced. At the federal level, you have legislation which tells you pretty clearly what parents have a right for and what they don't have a right or can't have distributed. And so your bill here probably doesn't counteract that. We would question whether that should be in there, whether it's necessary to put it in here. The parents are pretty much already protected. The next item is HB 57, when you see that one. Please keep in mind that from the educational community standpoint, we'd like to see schools protected under that. There has been some amendment. There has been some changes to that bill. The Attorney General's office has told me personally that the REAAs are protected with that language. If that comes to you or you get a chance, we'd like for you to be sure that it does protect the schools. This keeps schools from being sued in case there are problems arriving from the Y2K problem. There is support among the group for item number 8. This is a full year of credit for non-certificated employees. We understand that that one may be making some progress, and you may be seeing it. Number 10, portability of tenure. There is support for this bill. Mr. Chairman, we're going to strike a chord for teachers with this, our support for this. Most of us as superintendents working in communities watching the hiring of teachers understand that the present tenure bill causes teachers to not get jobs in this state in some districts. An example of this would be somebody working in the Thule's above the Yukon trying to get a job on the highway system. A school district who believes they only have 1 year to evaluate and look at that person who has tenure up in their other district is not apt to take a chance on them in initial hire. So from that standpoint, and as a superintendent's group, we want to be very supportive of teachers having an option of getting jobs in the communities where they'd like to go without this portability of tenure being a problem in their initial hire. The next item is has had numerous comments and responses. Mr. Chairman, one of the outstanding comments here was that this could be a solution in search of a problem. We hope that's not the case. The superintendents find themselves unable to take a position on this one. We just simply don't know what the problem is. Legislators' access to public buildings, item number 12. We're not sure what could cause this kind of legislation to be put in the hopper. We know that schools specifically are protected with a set of policies based on state statutes. You can't just enter a school building hollering, "I'm a legislator." Sometimes you have to stop by the principal's office. Sometimes there are other good reasons to protect that student body in the building itself from people coming in unannounced and that sort of thing. If there's a problem here and you could share that with superintendents, they could perhaps see to it that it's never a problem. Any place I've ever been, legislators have been open, welcomed with open arms. If they didn't get escorted by me, they were welcomed, they were taken into classrooms. This one is perplexing to us because we don't have any instance of a problem with that. If you have a need for, and keep in mind about that audit, we have something in school districts called the CIP, the Capital Improvement Program, that we have to go through and develop regularly and review yearly. We don't know what that audit is all about. Item number 14, the post-secondary credit toward high school graduation. Mr. Chairman, we think that's a good idea. We would like to see a tuition-free program. That would be fine with us. Let us inform you that this is being done across the state. Every district I've ever been in, as superintendent, it was announced openly that any student who took all the courses we had in the high school and the high school couldn't offer them an advanced course, we paid for their tuition and sent them to wherever they wanted to go to get it. So we're very happy to see that kind of a program. Item number 15 is supported in concept as part of the solution that you face in coming up with the funding to fund education as well as other programs. We see item number 16 as a part of a solution. We're looking for tools that you could use to see to it that funding is available, and we know that's the heavy charge on you, but we accept that you're in the position to come up with that funding and to make it available for education and other necessary required state programs. Item number 19, Mr. Chairman, we're not going to take a position on that right now, but we have wondered why we would insure a school sitting on a hill for flood insurance. And there could be some good reasons. We'd like to leave that open and pick up additional information on him. Item number 22, page 6. This is House Bill 5, and it went through your committee. This group wants you to know that there are many good reasons to oppose that concept in that bill. And we can discuss with you individually and in times to come about where that opposition comes from. Item number 24 is a companion bill that we've already discussed with you. Page 7, there are several of these we have positions on, and I'll just very briefly hit those. Number 26, post-secondary credit toward high school graduation. We support those free classes made available to students. We think that's a good one. 27, remedial University of Alaska classes. We have questions on this. We think there are some reasons for questioning it. We're open to suggestions, and we'll look further at it. Number 28, Mr. Chairman, we have a lot of questions about this one, which has been discussed with some of your members, and we have a lot of alternative programs across the state for adults to get education. We wonder, for example, what any particular group of parents in a school might do if they saw overage students being able to come in at will to enroll in the school. We know that many schools today practice under existing statute the concept of opening registration up subject to local board's approval on each case. It's not just an open thing. But any adult who's serious and committed can most likely go to school today in the community. The funding for the Challenge Youth Corps, that's number 30. Mr. Chairman, we know from experience that's an excellent program. We would commend you look heartily at that, the National Guard program that makes that available. It works. Every instant that I've worked with over the years sending a student to that, we've gotten results. It has worked. So it's a good program. The problem that we do have with the concept is that maybe this shouldn't be in DOE. Perhaps it should not be attached to the foundation funding program. Fund it directly through to the National Guard and let them run the program. Block grants for federal education. We would encourage you to do anything possible to streamline federal funding coming into the state, get as many barriers in place to resist federal requirements and strings on that money as you can. Quite frankly, many people are just getting very tired of jumping through hoops. Getting money is very late in the year when it's coming from the federal source. That money is not getting maximum use. You've had a bill introduced, page 8, number 32. This bill comes to you with a lot of good intentions behind it. We think there's a place for this, so we would support the concept of safe schools. And that's being brought to you as House Bill 165 and the Senate 125. Please note 33, but don't the group totally refused to take a position on that one. Go to 34. 33 is a spoof, Mr. Chairman. Don't.
We get it. And if they don't, I'll explain it.
In concept, we support 34. We have some questions. We'd like to see that we understand it completely, but we're ready to concur that much of that comes forth with people who have thought it through, and there's some reason behind it. Again, we encourage you look for funding in the places, as in SB 75, item number 35 at the bottom. We don't know what you'll come up with. We will support numerous different ways to approach getting funding in the state at your beckoning and at your recommendation. Number 37, permission requirements for surveys on personal affairs. This is controversial. Parents look at this much differently. And one of the things that we support is the parents' right to opt out. We simply would not want to give those surveys with parents saying no. It causes some statistical collection or statistical analysis problems, perhaps. But parents should have the right to opt out. The bill that's proposed here with HB 70 has quite a bit of requirement to jump through hoops and do certain things, and the paper gets to be a pretty big paper trail, and if we could help sort that out for you, we'd be happy to do so. Mr. Chairman, that concludes our report. There may be a time come when we'd like to talk to you about the adequacy study that the department will be doing on foundation formula. We make ourselves available to be a part of a solution for that. With that, we've made our time. We'll answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. Representative Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hargraves, on page 3, item 6, school records, what are the federal restrictions on you letting parents see all school records, particular pupil, their kid?
I think that the restriction falls into certain kinds of information that's confidential between counselors and students and that sort of thing. But whatever restrictions are there, the state would have to comply with them, I believe.
How can I find out, if I may continue, how can I find out what those federal restrictions are?
I can provide you with a copy of the statute.
All right, I would enjoy that. Page 4, item 12, legislators' access to public buildings. You asked what are the concerns. I'm sure that none of you have ever seen this happen, but there have been some school principals who have denied a particular legislator who they didn't agree with or didn't like, perhaps with good reason, access to the building. That's a problem. And as sworn elected officials, you know, where there's state investment and state money flowing, you're probably going to find legislators are going to take exception to somebody meeting at the door and say, you can't come in here and look at that. The other thing that I don't know that I've ever encountered in my area, and I always go unannounced and so on, what I would never want to encounter, and the Russians, I think, had a word for it called Potemkin villages. Maybe some of you are more literate. It's where they built phony villages when the queen or the czarina was going to come by just for show. And I don't want to go anywhere and just have a dog and pony show. I want it to be business as usual and not disrupt it. But I don't want people putting on a show for me. And if I had evidence that there were things going on there that were not in the best interest of students or unhealthy for students, you know, I'd like to be able to come by, not to disrupt, but to see for myself. So I suspect it's those kind of concerns that precipitate a bill like this, and I would guess that it would be a very exceptional situation when any legislator would want to be or would be a problem for you all.
For the record, let you know that Representative Wigger has joined us.
Page 6.
Representative Dyson to continue.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
HB 5, I believe, has been withdrawn by the sponsor. And you can save your weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for other issues. And I will, pending the actions of Department of Education, will be withdrawing HB 118.
I'm sorry, sir. That page was page 7.
Page 7, number 27. Second paragraph. And DOE tells me they're going to take care of that in regulation, as I said this morning, and that you won't be issuing under DOE regulations unqualified diplomas without having done it, successfully passed the competency test. And then page 8, item 34, HB 85, I'd really encourage you all to dig in on that one. This is the teacher ethics and competency, the board and their recommendations, and we need your input, and it goes now to judiciary, and we will have another chance to make some changes there. I particularly was concerned, and I'd love to have your input, on should that be board be, should they be, or even can they be, an adequate judge of competency? And if there is a issue of not being able to get rid of incompetent teachers, help us out, you know, and so on. And then there, when you look at that one, and we can get you a copy here if you want before you leave today, there was a group of amendments that came to us from NEA that were not adopted and from the governor's office that were not adopted in this committee on Saturday, and we'd really appreciate your inputs on those.
Just for the record, those amendments, I don't think they followed the bill, so if you need them, we can get them as a matter of record from this committee.
Yep, we'll get them.
Is the intent that Judiciary, Mr. Chairman, will put the amendments on?
It's our understanding that they will attempt to bring them to that committee. They may come in a little different form, so I think it'd be good to see the evolution of those.
We'd be happy to work with that committee.
Yep. And Representative Green in our committee is assistant chair or deputy chair or whatever they call it in Judiciary, and swings a big bat over there, so he'll be able to help you. And then on lastly, on page 9, if I may continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative.
HB 70, as I told you this morning, that's being rewritten. We find ourselves on opposite sides of that issue, at least I do, and it's the battle between parental, giving parents control over what's going on with their kid, and big administrative headaches with you guys, you know. And I'm sympathetic to your problem. I personally will come down on the parent side on that one, trying to make it as easy as we can so you do it. You can do it on a blanket basis when you enroll a student. Have another box to check on a piece of paper or another sheet of paper, you know. And if you guys can automate all that, you know, with your advanced technology, that sure want to do whatever to make that easy for you. If you'll call our office here, we should have that out, the revised bill here in a couple of days. Tell me how to make it easier. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Dyson. Just for the record, to let you know that Representative Green has joined us. Welcome to our committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Did you have any? No, I did not.
There was one other thing, Daryl, just to follow up his comments. And one of the things that we'd be interested in as a committee from you as a organization is not only on yeas and nays on legislation, but if there's ways that we can help make the system work better. Obviously, one of our issues is going to be how to facilitate the work between you and the teachers, between you and the students. And one of the issues, obviously, parental issues, is always an issue because we represent the broader scope. And so as we bring suggestions forward, we're also asking for suggestions back from you. So please feel free to, in writing, make suggestions to committee. As a group, as individuals, we certainly are welcoming it. We may act a little slower than you want, but that's probably also true. When parents come and talk to you, you probably act a little slower than they want. So, but we are interested in that communication, just for your information. Is there any other comments from the questions? Anything else from your group?
Just simply to really express our appreciation, you gave us this audience. We took a wide swap here today. We really went through a lot of stuff, and We needed an ear. We needed somebody to hear us, Mr. Chairman, and we'll work with you on the specifics as time goes on.
Well, now, having understood your position a little more clearly, that'll give us some help. And I understand that you'll be here throughout the course of this session.
I will be.
Yeah. I also heard last night that you're leaving Alaska.
I am.
So just a way to communicate with you would be helpful. So if you could leave that information for the whole council. Or
feel free to do that through my office, which I know they have contact with. I'll see to it. That, and feel free to go directly to her also. But I can carry messages for you.
One thing for sure, we hear a lot of bills in this committee, and we can't be expert on everything. We need to be able to ask you. That's going to be a part of it. But also we carry a strong philosophical bent that is dissipated throughout this committee, but I don't think anybody in here is wants to trip up the way we do it, just to make it better. So just to know that information is available is greatly appreciated. And I thank you for this. We'll keep this.
We're hopeful that you and your staff can keep that and just brief yourself occasionally. That section on the education topics is getting larger all the time. If you're watching it in the bill status, education is a popular subject for bills.
I just like it, as the superintendent of the Juneau Schools, to say thank you to many of you who have participated in our school activities, both in the gym and on the track and reading to kids. And I know many of you have done that. And would also like you to know that our schools are always open for you to come and drop by and visit. We would particularly love to have you stop and see the charter school, which is right up the street, walking distance, and our alternative school, which is down on Willoughby. We've got close to 150 kids there now. And our new school that just opened 2 years ago, Riverbend Elementary, beautiful new construction, to see what a new school can do in terms of school environment for kids in Alaska. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much. And not only here in Juneau, but I intend to do that throughout my community. Representative Green?
Well, I certainly could put my oar in for the same thing. I have been out to that new school, and it and the principal both, as well as the staff, were great. And one other thing, Mr. Chairman, since I was unavoidably detained, could they repeat everything?
No. We'll rule that out of order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Is there one other from Representative Dyson?
This is really helpful, and I think Co-Chair Ogiel said it, but we are desperate for really good information from people who are out there having to make it work. And you really help us when you give us accurate, you know, information. And thank you for doing that. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at Easter.